Welcome to season two of the Dare to Believe podcast.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
Are you excited about season two?
I'm very excited about season two. We've got a lot of great guests for our listeners and interviews full of revelation, awesome stories and testimonies that will encourage and inspire you, our listener, for the more of God.
So we want you to dare to believe.
Hey friends, just a quick break from this episode to share with you about an exciting upcoming event. In fact, an invitation to our upcoming fourth annual Dare to Believe Christmas Celebration Gala. It's coming up on Saturday, December 14th at the Steeple Center in Rosemount. And we're inviting you to come and celebrate with us all that God has been doing here at Dare to Believe. There'll be hors d'oeuvres, stories of God's transformation, prophetic ministry, dream interpretation, and healing prayer, along with a lot of fun and the presence of God. So we'd love for you to come be a part of the celebration. This is also our annual giving event. Dare to Believe is a 100% donor-funded ministry, and we so appreciate your support for all that we're doing here. So come enjoy and have an awesome time with us Saturday, December 14th at the Steeple Center in Rosemount.
Hi, I'm Christy Grainer, and Gary and I are here in Redding, California, and we're here talking with Dave and Taff Harvey. Hi, Dave and Taff.
Hey.
Hello.
Thank you so much for taking time. This is a very busy week for these guys, and they took time to talk to us, so we're very grateful.
It's our honor.
Thanks for having us.
You know what? I forgot that I wanted to ask you if I could ask. Tell us about the name Taff. What is your full name?
Well, it's a well-kept secret.
Let's put it out on the airwaves.
My legal name is Catherine. When I was two, my second cousin couldn't say Catherine. She said Taffrin. It got shortened to Taff, and it stuck.
Oh, that's so great.
I think once I finished school, other than for legal documents, I just stopped introducing myself as Catherine and just went with Taff, because that's what everyone called me.
Yeah, and it's you.
And it's me.
So Dave and Taff work at Bethel, and they have a lot of hats. So I'm going to let you, just so I don't mess anything up, why don't you tell us all the different roles that you play and have played over the years here at Bethel?
So we were revival group pastors in the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry.
Did you do that together, or did you each have a revival group?
So I was employed. We had little kids at the time, so Taff would just bring in the kids, and we'd run that revival group
with
together.
The kids.
So that was fun. With the kids,
that,
and they loved
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
Kids were brought up in fire tunnels and all those, you know, just wonderful times.
That sounds kind of like a dream come true for most parents. Really?
It was a blessing. And then from there, we ran a home group together as well as that at church. And then we did that for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And while there, I became a manager in first year, so just overseeing other pastors in the school, which was fun. And then 3 years ago now, we got pulled into an office by Chris Valadon, and hey, how would you like to take over from Paul and run Global Legacy? And we were like, wow. And the Lord spoke to us, and here we are. We're running now called the Bethel Leaders Network, which is fun, both of us co-directing, mm-hmm. which seems to be what the Lord's doing right now around the world. So yeah, we're having fun.
It's powerful.
And you do other things, and I do other things as well.
Yeah. So we've been doing this for nearly 3 years, directing the Bethel Leaders Network, and we're really excited about this next phase that we've just launched with it. It's going to be great. I'm also the worship pastor for the Healing Rooms, which is my passion and my love. I've done worship pastoring for years, and I've been involved in the Healing Rooms for 9 of the 10 years that I've been here, and then took over the leadership of it maybe 2 years ago now.
You know, I'd never worshipped under your leadership until last year at the VLN gathering, mm-hmm. and it blew me away. You are an amazing leader, and you worship, and we get to come alongside you. It's powerful. It really is powerful.
Thank you.
You have quite a gift.
It's my joy. It's definitely my happy place to be there.
It shows.
It's our joy. We get to have a booming away in the car sometimes or around the house.
Till the kids tell me to be quiet because it's too loud.
But it's such an honor to be married to a bit of a diva, a bit of a singer. So.
Yeah. And you have three boys.
Yeah.
That is a little handful.
All three blondies. You guys call them towheads.
Yeah.
So 7, 10, and 12. The top one's kind of like a leader, negotiator. He can do everything pretty much. The middle one, again, he's a bit more of an introvert.
He's the quieter one, for sure.
Quieter one, but super smart, really smart, but an athlete. God gave him the ability to move. It's just amazing. And then the little one's like, I describe him like Donald Trump. Very blunt, very like, just speaks his mind. And yeah, he's the boss sometimes. So we often look at ourselves and go, how did we make that guy? Like, how did that personality come out of us?
He's very different to the older two, that's for sure.
But yeah, parenting is different with each one that comes along. There's no one size fits all, I don't think.
Right.
We only had two and we were stretched to figure out, okay, what worked on the first one is not working on this next
exactly.
one.
Exactly. I remember when Zeke, our oldest, was about 2 years old, I remember thinking, we've got this parenting thing. We're so good at this. And then we had Jaden and I went, oh, my strategies don't work with you that worked with him. What do I do?
Now what do I do?
I mean, the foundational principles stay the same, you know, but sometimes the way that you actually implement some disciplinary action is rather different. And even communicating love to them is different. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then the third came along and I didn't even try to think that we knew what we were doing.
So the boys are thriving here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how old were they when you came? You didn't have them. One of them was born here, right? Or
When we moved, Zeke was 2.5. Jaden was only 10 weeks old. And then we had Chase 2 years later. So
you moved with a 10-week-old baby from another country.
They're easy to travel with because they clip into the side of the plane. You just clip them in and they don't move. You got to feed them throughout the trip, but... Two-year-olds, you don't want to travel with a two-year-old. They're like walking everywhere, running up and down.
I want to go way back. How did you guys meet each other? Because so you're from Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She stalked me, you know,
for years?
My good looks, my wealth, my intelligence.
That's what we assumed, Dave. Yeah. Where in Australia are you from?
I don't know. I was born in a little town called Wodonga. And Taff was born in a city called Bendigo, which I moved to do university. Yeah. So moved there.
Just north of Melbourne, so the southeast side of Australia.
And I actually studied to be a teacher. I never wanted to be a teacher, but every year the Lord said, I need you to be a teacher, stay here. And that's a whole story.
So you knew the Lord most of your life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We both did. Brought up with beautiful parents. My dad taught us the word of God every night. Like he would just come in and teach us Bible verses. Mum was praying for, I was one of four boys, so we just seemed to be able to make boys, but she would pray for us every morning. So great heritage with that. And then moved to Bendigo to study. And
I was about 12 when he moved. So there's an 8.5 year age gap between us.
But I was not interested.
No.
Let's just make that very clear.
You weren't trying to date a 12-year-old.
No.
If people can do the math, I was about 20 and I'm not chasing a 12-year-old, but I just had a great friendship with her dad. Her dad was a teacher and the Lord had managed to push Dave Harvey into teaching. Never wanted to teach in a Christian school and ended up in a Christian school teaching. Every day Taff would come from her high school after I'd been teaching for a while. How old were you then? Was that 15, 16?
15, 16, yeah.
She would come up and do piano lessons at the school, the private Christian school. So we were good friends because I was over, I just hang out with her dad. And
it was also the environment of the church. It was, you know, a smaller church and a youth group where it didn't matter what age you were, we all just hung out together. And so I had friends who were older and younger and everything.
You had
in
the swimming pool that we'd all come out
to. Yeah, we had the hangout house. And
So Taff would come over for piano lessons and I would be marking my work. And she would just come and just sit and I'd get her marking work with me. I'm like, all right, you can mark this for me. This is what I want you to look for. I delegated work. But it was funny because I remember we've done youth ministry together for years too. I started when I was 16 at that church. Taff was probably, you started when you were young too.
Yeah.
But I remember the Lord spoke to me that promise in the Bible where one of the patriarchs was it says while he was in the field working, his servant brought Rebekah on the camel, and the Lord said to me, you just focus on doing what I'm asking you to do, and I'll bring your bride to you. And that's I'd teach that in youth ministries and different things. I'd be like, guys, chill about relationships. God, just get sold out for God and he'll bring. And it totally happened for me, for us anyway. I was like, she just came. I didn't have to really chase her too much. And we just hit it off. We were just good friends. And
mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun. And then we weren't officially dating for a while. Everyone, I think, knew except my dad that we were dating until finally I was 18 and finished high school, and then we actually dated for a couple of years before we got engaged and married when I was 21. So,
and that's been 16 years.
16 years.
Wow.
Yep. We did a whole thing for our engagement, which had 7 clues.
You did a what thing?
I did a whole like adventure course. Because of so many years of youth ministry, I was not a normal person. So I'm like, she had to work for her ring, and we ended up.
Did he really make you work for your ring?
Yeah, he woke me up at 4:15 in the morning. He came over to my house and got me up, and he's like, you just need your bathers, your swimmers. And I'm like, okay, what else do I need? He goes, oh, I don't know, just that'll do.
I'd had 1 hour sleep.
He had 1 hour sleep.
And I'd been planning this for a week. A massive site. I'd bought a ring, and my dream was to get propose on a sunset on the beach. Now, we lived inland Australia, so not near the beach. So it involved us driving to Melbourne, catching a plane to the Brisbane, up the northeastern part of Australia, catching a boat out to an island.
I had a clue for every next
step. Are you serious?
And then snorkeling for the ring.
Convertible.
And so it's a whole story. We won't use up the whole podcast on it, but basically
made the local newspaper
and after
made the wedding magazine.
Yeah, after paying for all that, like all the infrastructure and planning it all, a cyclone moved over the top of Brisbane, and I was angry at the Lord. I'm like, God, you're ruining everything. Like, do you know I've spent so much money on this? And so I just had to go ahead with the plan. So woke her up, did that whole thing. We're up there, we're actually on the island, and I'm watching the local sporting agency paddle out while it's rain, and the clouds came over, it's raining. I'm like, oh, here we go. And what I didn't realize till after the fact was I'm watching the tour guide put the ring in the water, and I know we're going to have to go out in the rain and snorkel. It's freezing. What I didn't realize was God cleared the entire beach of tourists, and it was just us.
Oh.
And it was just the moment our toes hit the water, it stopped raining. It was a little bit chilly still, but we went in, she dove down, got the ring, and then there was a Russian tourist that walked past, said, oh, you know, after I'd proposed, can I take a photo? And he took a photo of us, and there was a sunset right in the background, so it was the perfect dramatic.
Come on, that's awesome. Well done, Dave.
I know. I think I started a bit too high. But anyway.
All the other males are not happy with him.
Yeah.
Set the standard for them too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. And then how long were you married before you came here?
6 years.
6 years. Yeah. And tell us how you decided to come to the States, to Bethel. And that was a huge Dare to Believe God event.
Yeah. We were thriving. Like, ministry was going great. I was actually in full-time ministry for 9 years with a parachurch Christian organization working at building the kingdom in secular places. It was really cool, in schools and different things. And then God started speaking to us like 14 times over 18 months, moved to America, moved to Bethel, moved to
So really that clear, you were getting it, huh?
It was relentless, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first thing we read was Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind. And so it was in there that we saw that they had a school. And we read the book because we were hungry for more. We just knew that there was more. And
yeah.
We'd been going after it with some of our friends locally. But just we wanted to see a greater breakthrough in the supernatural and in the move of God. And so when we saw they had a school, we thought we should think about this. And Dave had an opportunity to do another school within Australia. And we just looked at the fruit of both schools and we went, we want what's happening here in Reading. So we ended up laying that down and
we'd moved up here. We'd felt the Lord tell us 2 years earlier, sell your house and give away all the money. Like it was like this faith came on us. That's all I can describe it. Now we're...
Sell your house and give away all the money.
All the money. At that time, the valuation, we probably only had about $50,000 Australian in equity. But we had faith. We both agreed on it. It wasn't like my thing and she was getting dragged along. But we put the house on the market and had one lousy offer in 3 months. And so we were like...
This is before we were considering moving.
This is 2 years earlier. And we were like, oh, did we hear God? Did we not? Well, we'll put that on the mystery shelf and maybe we just didn't hear God. And from that moment on is when we started... We started to hear about Bethel. And 14 times over the next 18 months, it was like, move, move, move. It was like the Lord was saying, are we ready to leave everything? And I guess he gave us the faith for it. So when we decided in our heart, oh God, we sat down and went, let's write down all the times God's spoken to us, and it was 14. Well, let's just decide to do this. Let's not tell anyone. Let's just see what happens. So we made that decision. I don't know if it was that weekend or a few days after that, there was a knock on our door from a real estate agent. Hey, I remember you were trying to sell your house 2 years ago. I wasn't your agent, but I was another agent in town. Do you want to sell it now? Because I know it'll sell. And so the house was sold.
So they came to you?
They came to us.
They came to us. And then it was sold within 2 weeks for an incredible offer.
Like, it was actually sold within a week.
A week? Oh.
Less than a week. No advertising. That offer fell through. And then another one came through another week later.
It was even higher.
So we got even more money out of it.
There was so much favor on it. My work said, can we just keep you on? And they kept me on for a year while I did first year BSM. Like there was so
just
much.
Just for 1 day a week, yeah.
And in that whole thing, and then we had a business friend rock up. And the business friend, and I actually had lived with them when I was in my first year of university. And he starts to tell us a testimony about how he'd been asked to, he was able now to fulfill his lifelong dream to start his own business. He was a very successful businessman in a national business in Australia. But now he had an opportunity to step into a business of his own. And what had happened was he had a chance to buy a plastic injection machine worth millions of dollars for pretty much the exact amount of money that we'd gotten from the sale. And the Lord says to me in that moment, offer Tony the money. And I'm like, and I don't know if I asked you, I don't know, we must have just been so going for it. And I just offered him, I said, Tony, do you need the money for that? And he goes, oh no, I could never ask you guys for that. No, it'll be fine, we'll go to the bank, don't worry about it. And so I was like, all right. And then that's when the global financial crisis hit the world and all the banks freaked out around the world and froze. And so they were denied twice, but then accepted because their business had great credit. But he didn't have peace in his heart. And so then he...
You called him again.
Oh, yeah. I was driving to get some milk a week later. And the Lord says, it was in the morning. The Lord says, hey, call Tony again and offer him the money again. And I'm like, all right. So I called him up. Hey, do you want the money? And he goes, the weirdest thing happened. I was at church last night. And I went up to an old guy in our church who's really prophetic, and he looked at me and said, Tony, the money's not coming from a bank, it's coming from a private investor. And then I called him in the morning, and he said, I think it could be the Lord. And so we were totally all in. We're like, no worries, let's do this. And then, and do you remember the night we were on a call? We said, let's call, I don't know, a few days later and we'll talk details. And so we called him and he said, look, why don't you just see it as a loan to us? We'll pay you back and you can, we'll pay you back with interest. And we're like, yeah, whatever. Like, we just want to give you the money. And so we hung up the phone, and it was when you had the phones that were sitting, you know, the physical phones. Yeah. We hung it up and then immediately it rang. And I thought it was one of those miss rings. And I'm like, so I picked it up and it was another business person that I know. And they said, hey, the Holy Spirit, we heard you going to that place in America. The Holy Spirit just told us to give you a weekly income of this. And they, and I'm freaking out. I'm
so
like,
you hung up the call from giving away the money and the phone rings and
we get a weekly. Anyway, so we're like that and we're celebrating. We go into the bathroom of our tiny little house. And then Taff's like, babe, I don't even know if we should see it as a loan. This is God's money. Like, we should just give it away. And when we looked at each other in the bathroom, do you remember this? And we're like, yeah. Then the phone rings. The phone rings as soon as we looked at each other and agreed. And it's that same second businessman who'd rang. The Holy Spirit just told me to up my weekly giving to this and this. And we were just like, oh my gosh. Anyway, there were so many. So to cut a long story short, we came here with just about 8,000, which was all used up by Christmas. I remember Taff coming to me crying just before Christmas as a beautiful mum, like, I've got no money for Christmas. And I'm like, I mean, BSSM, I'm just, God's good, it'll be fine. And she goes over and checks our bank account seconds later and someone's put $4,000 in. Like, there were so many moments like this. God asked me to go on my mission trip to Mozambique, the most expensive trip. And then he says, but don't just believe for enough money for yourself, believe for enough money for someone else. So, and then he raised $8,000 for that trip, and it was a $3,700 trip. So I was able to get someone else on the trip, buy Tracy Evans a guitar, I wanted to start a micro business in Africa. We were able to start a peanut butter business that's still going to this day. Like, all these, we were able to bring Bibles. So this, the abundance of God poured out because he'd given us so much faith for giving. And we had over 3.5 years, we were given over 3 times what we gave away in that 3.5 year period.
So you were given, you took in over 3 times as much as you gave away.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if we had kept our money, we would have been... I don't know, God's good.
If you would have kept your money, it wouldn't have kept flowing like it did.
We got way more.
By giving it away. More. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't outgive God, right? Isn't that what Bill says? And so then you came on staff and then had an income. So that's how you, so that you really did make it through without a job, no work, and the Lord outgave everything you gave away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even with an income, there's still been times where God has challenged us to still believe. And we've had to believe. Like, the income doesn't necessarily cover everything that you need it to all the time.
Right.
This stuff comes up. And so we've always had to still believe. And I always wanted to make sure that our faith was in God and not in our income.
Yeah,
so good.
That's a good point.
So that I always trusted Him for it to be our provider and not our job. And so even when we had income, we've still had incredible financial testimonies where we've been given, you know, $10,000 here or $50,000 there, just where God has provided. So
God would speak to us as a family through birds, believe it or not. Now, I know that sounds strange to people, but the I love how Jesus says, hey, don't worry about your life. Check out the birds. Like, they don't worry. Anyway, and I hadn't put those two together, but what we had this pattern happening over much of this happened over the 3.5 years, where a flock of birds would fly across the car, in front of the car, the shadow would go over the car, and we would have a financial miracle that day or the next day. Like, it became so regular that the kids call flocks of birds flocks of miracles. And so now, even to this day, look, Dad, a flock of miracles. And financial breakthrough or just breakthrough. And I remember even once when I was on a trip overseas, and I woke up to an email, which Taff had mentioned before, where this beautiful people said, hey, we just feel to honor you and we want to give you $50,000. And I bawled. I'm shaking in this foreign country, just crying, because I knew we needed a blessing, not that much, but I was undone. I called Taff, you're not going to believe this, like, check this out. And she's obviously ecstatic and stuff, but she said, well, the funniest thing just happened. We just had there was a hummingbird that came and sat on we put up string clotheslines and hang our clothes out for everyone to see to dry. This was in America. And it just sat there for 5 minutes while the kids were squirting it with a water pistol, and it wouldn't move.
Really?
And it was like this. It was like this bird was prophesying to us, there's something significant happening right now. And then I called, and obviously God radically blessed us. So yeah, we've had some pretty fun moments with the Lord.
That's so good. And what do you say to people who are struggling with their own finances? You know, there's sometimes people believe and they get so discouraged, it's hard to hang in there.
Yeah.
And until they see the breakthrough come.
Yeah.
How would you encourage people who find themselves in that place?
I think in those moments, you've got to go back to testimony, and you've got to go back to prophecy. You've got to go back to the goodness of God. And so I encourage people to dive into testimony. Like, we had a car that broke down, and I was seeing miracles happen to everyone else, cars everywhere, and the Lord, and I was fixing my own car, and I'm not a mechanic. And the Lord said, why don't, Dave, you're so good at believing for other people to have a miracle, why don't you believe for yourself? And it really confronted me to think, oh man, what's wrong? So he just said, read some testimonies and start to believe. Anyway, and then to cut a long story short, someone gave us money after the kids said a quick prayer, and we got enough money to buy a 2013 Audi, beautiful car. And so I guess for me, we've seen it when people feed on testimony and actually believe. Because I think people have an orphan spirit sometimes, and we focus on what it appears like God is not doing. Mm-hmm. Rather than what God is doing. When Taff was given a car after our kids prayed one morning on the way to school, that from that day onwards, 20 minutes later, someone next to me elbows me and gets given a car. Six people around us over the next 5 days, six of our friends were given cars, and we desperately needed a car. And it was this moment where we learned, we just celebrated every victory from everyone else. We focused on what God was doing, knowing that our breakthrough was really close. And sure enough, we had an incredible miracle where Taff got a Honda Pilot, brand new car.
Awesome.
And so that was...
But you had to persevere and not allow jealousy or orphan stuff or any of that garbage to rise up. Or if it did, you had to push it back down by going through the testimonies.
Yeah. The kingdom's like a door. Like, it opens a little bit. If it's over your friend or your spouse or your kids, you celebrate it, and it opens up a bit more, and you just keep celebrating him, and he'll get you. He's probably weeding out some orphan stuff in all of us that in those times. I would just encourage you, get ready. Your breakthrough's right there, like right around the corner. So.
And to remember our own testimonies is important, but also to feed on other people's testimonies. And you have a way for people to feed on testimonies.
Yep.
You've got an app, and you've got books that come out. You want to talk about those?
Yeah, so we have coffee table books called Increase, and we just have a brand new one, which is we're just so excited about. It's 50 stories of kids from around the world who are bringing heaven to earth. And there are kids releasing miracles in cars, in shopping centers, in school. Just beautiful miracles. Some of our own boys' stories are in there, which is fun. We've built some coffee table books, which are just beautiful. And they're powerful, so people read them and then the miracles happen to their kids. Jesus is rocking up in kids' dreams after reading the book, or their kids are stepping out at Starbucks and healing people. Like, it's a beautiful, so they're cool. And then we've got an app which the Lord has just been building and building and building, which is called Increase, and you can get it on iTunes and Android. And it's the vision behind that is to light up the world. The Lord said, you'll light up the world with a testimony app, and every flickering light will be a testimony of my goodness. And it's growing rapidly, so we're really we're honored to be a part of that.
So to some kind of talk about what you guys have walked through all your lives, in a way, is learning to feed on testimony to keep your heart in a place where you could believe God for more.
You've
you continue to learn how to do that at a higher level, but you've done that all along, and you're teaching your boys to do that. How awesome.
Yeah.
To raise them in this environment where they're praying and you're getting cars. I mean, that's never going to go away.
We felt like it was important not to leave them out of the journey, that they knew when we needed a financial breakthrough, they knew when we needed help or something, or when we were celebrating, they were part of the journey with us all the time. So
that's beautiful.
We had them praying, we had them declaring, we had them involved in every decision. You know, we don't want to shelter them from real life. We want them to be involved in it. Obviously, you're careful on how you do that, but we just felt like it was so important to teach them and train them. Hey, when you have a need, when you have something that you're believing for, you pray about it and you declare the truth of God and the goodness of God over it. And they've seen the breakthrough and they've seen the miracles come through, to the point where now they have their own situations and circumstances where they've had to, you know, stretch their faith and make their own declarations, and they've seen breakthroughs as well for their own lives, which has been so exciting.
Yeah, we certainly don't have to keep kids segregated, and then you learn how to do this when you're an adult. You have to learn to do it as a child.
That's right.
Yeah, and stay childlike. Well, we want to respect your time. We want to thank you for being here, but before we go, would you each bless our listeners so that just release whatever's on your heart to release over them, that they can walk in the things that the Lord has for them.
So good. Well, Jesus, I thank you for every listener. Actually, if you're listening, I just want you to lean back and relax into your chair, into your couch, and just close your eyes. Because there's a waterfall right behind you of the Father's love, and it's the size of Niagara Falls. Every drop shouts, I love you. Every drop shouts, you're amazing. He's not angry with you. He's not disappointed with you. He's not even frustrated with you. And so, Father, I release an encounter with your love right now. Let every person feel the weight of your love, the joy of your love, the color of your love right now. And I release crazy financial miracles. In Jesus' name, release thousands and thousands of dollars over people, God. And new cars.
Yeah, and I just release faith to believe in just how good God is, just how kind of a Father He is. That spirit of revelation and wisdom, that you'd come and fill every heart and mind. That just to know how good He is. And that I just pray for, I just see pictures of pearls being dropped into people's lives. And I just feel like there's pearls of wisdom that are coming to each listener. That just as you do daily life, that you're going to have thoughts and strategies and ideas just come into your mind. And I just trust, I just challenge you to believe and trust that they are from the Lord, because He is providing wisdom for you in everyday life, in every circumstance, in every situation that you face. He wants to help and He wants to guide. So we bless you with wisdom from heaven.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That's so good. Wow. Okay. we've been speaking with Dave and Taff Harvey. Thank you both very much. If you want to connect with Dave and Taff, you can do so on Facebook. Their Facebook page is David and Taff Harvey, right? And you can contact them there and look for them at Bethel and on the websites, you can find them, and
yeah,
just come and visit, right? So Bethel Leadership Network, Bethel Leaders Network,
yeah,
and healing rooms are the main places people would find you when they come here. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So thank you so much for taking your time.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Dare to Believe podcast. We are grateful for you, our listeners. You can find out more about us at
our website, daretobelieve.info. That's dare2believe.info. Also, to make sure you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes, subscribe to us on Apple iTunes or however you listen to your podcasts. And go ahead and leave a 5-star rating while you're at it. Thank you, guys.